The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them, and not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up, Twin Cities? Welcome back to another episode of Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy. I am JSE, the Navigator, in studio with the one, the only, the lovely L Boogie is in the building. What's up, L Boog? How you doing tonight, miss?
I'm doing lovely, thank you very much. A little food nourished me and woke me up, so I'm here. I'm ready to go.
Oh, you powered up. I saw you had the kale and the carrots and all the real food, the stuff that gives you energy.
From right across the street.
From right across the street. Hard Times. Shout out to Hard Times for holding it down many years. Maybe, but remember though, whenever you show up over there, bring your cash, because it's a cash-only spot. They done caught me slipping a couple times. Welcome, Twin Cities. Welcome back to another episode of Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy here on Election Eve, here in the Twin Cities and throughout other parts of the state. It is the night before Election Day. We experienced early voting and the mad rush to cast your vote. We stood in line. How long were you in line, El Boog?
30 minutes,
30 plus minutes when you know, if we talk ride the car, cast the vote, maybe about 45 minutes it took us, something like that.
30
plus minutes in line.
Dress warm.
Minneapolis is showing up. Important election on the ballot. Elections for mayor, tax and estimation board.
Yes. There were three candidates.
We know someone's running for that. Park board, right?
For at large.
There's a lot of candidates on the ballot. I got a friend, or a guy that I know is on the ballot. Red Lake tribal member Ira Jourdain is on the ballot.
Sure is.
A lot of other folks are on the ballot. If you're looking for information, you can go to...
Well, and if the park board is important to you, which it should be.
It should be.
Do your work, because there's a lot of names on there and you might forget. At first I had to kind of go, okay, wait a minute. I know Ira. Mm-hmm. Okay, I know of these other names.
Mm-hmm.
Who are the other cats again? I had to like jog my memory to, you know. Mm. Sometimes I usually bring notes. I didn't bring notes this time. Like what my order is, I always plan ahead, because NPR had one of those assessments on again, too. Mm. In case you're still kind of wondering how you should rank, Minnesota Public Radio had an online who do you choose kind of surveys to help you figure out who you want, who falls into your category in terms of your ranked choice for president, for mayor, because there's some very good quality candidates to choose from this time.
Yes, a lot of candidates on the ballot. I felt like there were almost on two sides of the ballot. That's how many candidates there were.
There
running,
was a lot.
Running for mayor of Minneapolis, municipal races in St. Paul, the Mayor Carter has a challenge. There are maybe 7-8 candidates on NAB ballot. Again, make sure you do your research.
Yeah.
If you're concerned or unsure about your polling place, I would advise going to the Minnesota Secretary of State's website, or you can go to mnvotes.gov and you can ask your questions there. If you want to make a phone call and talk to someone in person, 1-877-600-VOTE. I think the early voting, probably there may be some of the early voting opportunities are still open yet this evening, maybe not. Election day voting, I believe you need to do that in your designated polling place. Again, you can find out where that is by going to the Secretary of State's website, plugging in your address, and they will let you know where to vote.
Yeah, it's an important year. It's important. Every year is an important year. But when I was in line, I happened to pull up an article that said that Minneapolis is having one of the highest turnouts in our history of municipal voting. And so just, you know, make sure you do your work and think logically as well, because they're like we said, there's some really great candidates, a number of them, and you know, I've been really watching a lot of these different contests, and I saw one on MSNBC that called Omar, you always correct me when I say his last name,
Omar Fateh?
Yeah, because I think I'm very Minnesotan or Wisconsin, and I go Fateh.
I call Omar, you know, State Senator Omar Fateh. I called him State Senator Omar Fateh for a minute, too. I did learn the correct way to pronounce his name.
So nobody they were likes calling to have a name him, mispronounced. Yeah, they were calling him the Mal Dalmy of Minneapolis.
Yeah, let's visit that. I know you've been following, of course, here in the Twin City. Go out, cast your vote. You can do so between now. Definitely can do so between probably 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. tomorrow. Again, go to the Secretary of State's website to find that information out. And again, competitive races all across the metro here. Please do your due diligence, do your homework, and get out and cast your vote. There's never been a more important time to engage in our politics.
Yeah.
But you've been paying a lot of attention to what's been happening out in New York,
New Jersey, Virginia, all the races happening right now. And I'm intrigued because what I'm watching for is the tipping point in politics, the point of which people say, we want something completely different. In history, it has done that a lot, where we go from really far one way to swing to the other way. And I'm really watching this because the thing I have in my mind, and I wonder out loud and I wonder to myself, is what's the bottom line? Let's forget parties. What's the bottom line? And when I listen to the candidates up for mayor in our own city, the candidates in St. Paul, the candidates in New York, who's really talking about the basic things that we need as Americans? And they all do. But what I'm really listening for is, what's your answer? Because if I were to even summarize it between Democrats and Republicans, Republicans are always dissing healthcare, but you don't have a plan. You haven't had a plan for years. But the Democrats do. So I'm a universal healthcare person. I'm going with healthcare. So who has the best healthcare plan? Who has the best plan for public safety? Who has the best plan that's logically and reasonable for some of the other woes that cause pain in our pocketbooks? And Maldonado is interesting because he proposed free bus rides, free transportation.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And I was like, wonder how expensive that would be. I mean, we see how the light rail is expensive, but bus rides, would that be expensive?
It's a good question.
Yeah.
But
the concept
really,
is cool.
I'm not really sure. Yeah. I mean, at a time when, you know, SNAP benefits, have been discontinued. I heard some good things through the grapevine this morning that they're
the grapevine.
Through the earlier today, some emails crossed my path that, you know, there may be some relief on the horizon for those folks who need those benefits. But at a time when resources are at a minimum and needs are at a maximum, you know, what better time to get creative, you know, where you would waive transportation costs in cities like New York, where you got so many visitors, so much of that, you know, what is that called? So much of that dollar, that spend, that recreational dollar spend where people come and travel and to the city and pay premium prices, although it's not too expensive to get around in New York on a subway. But, you know, to give a little relief as folks try to make their way around and make ends meet at these very desperate times, right? I think that's great to hear the creativity. And, you know, I've heard some folks willing to take some of their resources, different Native organizations willing to take their resources and put them in a pool that folks could draw down on so that they can get rations or you know, help get food shelf resources or other food resources into the hands of people that very, very much so need them at this time.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Che, one of my absolute favorite SNL folks, Saturday Night Live folks, he shared a post about, you know, this shouldn't be a debatable issue. These are people in need. This should not be a I'm summarizing, but this should not be a political topic that we have to debate about. Feed people, house people, help people. Give them health insurance. You do these basic things and lift them up. And now these are my words. Lift them up. They'll contribute to society. But they don't want, there are some folks that don't want a segment of our population to contribute to society. They want to keep them down. And so what's really interesting to me is why I'm really closely watching this, because, you know, I was newer to the political party and the political whole thing here in Minneapolis. I just was getting my feet wet, trying to figure out what's going on, what are the politics, what side is what, who believes in what the agenda is this. And I was really observing. And I'm seeing that the shift in Minneapolis and the push and pull of our local politics is happening everywhere. And that's why I'm intrigued. So when they come at, when the administration, the current man in charge, comes at Maldani for being a socialist, that's his words, not mine, democratic socialist, yes. And so I'm like, what's wrong with him being DSA? There are some basic beliefs there that people can align to. So is that all you got? Because people are liking what he's bringing for solutions. And so that's New York City. And so they're comparing it to also what's happening in Minneapolis on the news. And that's why I'm intrigued. I even saw it on the BBC. The BBC was talking about it. And I'm like, wow, they're really watching our politics. Because I remember being, and then I'll slow down. Is B on yet?
He'll be on it.
Okay. I was in Paris during the 2020 when they were waiting to see if our current commander in chief would be voted back in. Because what the locals said to me, and I was speaking very broken French with them over gin at a bar called Tiger Gin in Paris, they said, we watch what happens in America because it'll inform what happens here. And if you look around the world, the shift that's happening and the polarization that's happening in politics, we're watching it unfold. And money can't buy everything. So I hope money doesn't buy all these elections in the wrong way. In Argentina, and why we're going after Venezuela, what's happening in the Netherlands, they didn't let money buy their vote. What was happening in Germany? So it's happening. And it's no coincidence that the latest negotiations between the dictators over there, our administration's friends, is going to be in Hungary, the kingdom of that sort of rule. So that's why I'm intrigued, because I'm watching the rollout, and I'm crossing my fingers for the swell of our people, of American people, swell to say no. No, we're back to basics. We're back to what's good for people. We're back to what people need, and we're back to helping each other, because that's a decent thing that we do, and that's what our veterans fought for. That's, if we're going to have any reason to give up our land in this country as Indigenous people, at least take care of people, take care of Mother Earth, and take care of all our animal relatives and our sea creatures and our birds. Like, take care of things. Don't come over here and abuse it, because you all came here. Took the land, took what you thought was yours, and now you're going to abuse it? It's not right. Mm. Take care of people. If you're going to have karma come back, take care of the people that are here.
So New Yorkers have a very interesting choice to make.
Yes.
Progress, right? The commander the comb over in chief last night talk about the candidate in
Cuomo?
No, not Cuomo, not Andrew Cuomo. So you got Andrew Cuomo, former governor, former mayor. Was he mayor of New York at one time? I believe so, right?
I know he was governor.
He was governor.
Might have been, yeah. Their dad was.
We know he's very handsy, and part of the reason.
Well, they're a political family.
They're a political family. I know you watch his brother
Chris Cuomo.
Chris Cuomo on a regular, who is definitely more progressive than his brother. His brother is kind of good old boy, New York Democrat, kind of a guy who was in the in crowd with Trump back in the day. Got real handsy. And had some allegations that were brought forward. It seemed like his career was over. But in the comb over in chief era, apparently anyone can run for office or get.
Well, he's endorsed by him now.
Yeah. I'm not surprised. Although last night I didn't say that when I was
today.
Watching. When I was watching for folks who didn't know, the comb over in chief. Was on 60 Minutes, sat down for an extended period of time, was pretty adversarial, or at least was not giving much ground to the reporter, was really kind of disrespectful.
It was a normal interview.
But kind of par for the course,
yeah.
No pun intended, for the guy who spends probably more time on the course than in other places doing work, other than remodeling, you know, the White House without going through any channels to do so. Anyway, we're in a bizarro authoritarian reality. That guy has his opinions. He called. Is it Maldani?
Maldani.
Called him a communist.
Yes, right.
Not a socialist.
That's right.
But clearly this guy's got some momentum, and it could be very interesting. The other thing I noticed is that there's 51 seats in the New York City Council. I think that number is amazing.
That's a lot of people.
It's a
huge city.
Could
you imagine Minneapolis at 51?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. We're getting no work done.
51 people, are vying, 51 seats are in play. For the city council, all 51 seats are in play and on the ballot. So it should be an interesting night. We will, not tonight, but tomorrow will be an interesting night, election night, and we'll see what happens. We'll see what the trends are here in the Twin Cities. We'll see what the trends are in other areas. New York governor, Virginia's got some elections that are really important and are on the ballot. A lot of folks will be casting those ballots over the next couple days. Let's take a quick music break. Thank you again for tuning in to Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy here on KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis, KFAI.org, Radio Without Boundaries. We'll be right back, y'all.
the job. Listen to the jam master as he starts to rock. His name is Jay, and he's on his way to be the best DJ in the US of A. J-A-Y, all the letters of his name, cutting and scratching all the aspects of his game. So check out the master as he cuts these jams and look at us with the mics in our hands. Then take a count. 1, 2, 3. Jam Master J, run. DMC. He's Jam Master J, the big beat blaster. He gets better cause he know he has to. In 84, he'll be a little faster. And only practice makes a real jam master. DMC to put you up on the scoop. We make the fly girls scream in ecstasy. We rock the freshest rhymes at a party. We put all the fellas in a daze. It's everyone that we amaze. And we got the master of a disco scratch. There's not a break that he can't catch. Jam Master J, that is his name. And all wild DJs he will tame. Behind the turntables is where he stands. Then there is the movement of his hands. And when asked who's best, y'all should say, DMC and Jam Master J.
Support for KFAI comes from the Cloudland Theater, presenting The Silent Treatment Friday, November 7th. Subdued, demure, coquettish, nope, The Silent Treatment are punk, punk, punk. This is a release party for their latest single, Repeat Catastrophe. Dave Randall from Kinda Kinky, Rob Sells from Low Wrath, Keely Lane from Trailer Trash, and front woman Claire Luger are as subtle as a car crash as The Silent Treatment. Opening the show are Two Harbors and The Slow Death. More information about The Silent Treatment is available at cloudlandtheater.com.
All right, Twin Cities, welcome back to another episode of Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy. Jason William Mizell, better known by his stage name as Jam Master J. Happy heavenly birthday. Jay passed away in 2002 at the young age of 37. There have been several documentaries that tried to get to the bottom of what happened to Jam Master J, Jason Mizell. Finally, I think they were able to identify the folks that had rolled up in his studio and took his life, I think robbed him as well. But we're celebrating. That's a very tragic way to go. Jam Master Jay was a part of the legendary Run DMC crew that really kind of helped accelerate hip hop onto the commercial stage, a global stage. Originally born in Brooklyn, January 21st, 1965, and of course died, unfortunately, untimely death, October 30th of 2002. So we're acknowledging and celebrating Jam Master Jay. Rest in beats. B. Buckner has joined us. B. Buckner is on the show in the Zoom sphere. Also want to give a shout out to another legend who would have celebrated a birthday yesterday, but he died June 20th, 2019, and that's Prodigy of the Mobb Deep crew. Part of a really interesting collab that at a time in hip hop where, you know, there was a battle for control, right? East Coast, West Coast. They locked horns with Pac and others, were unapologetic, and Prodigy was integral part of their ascension at a time when the West Coast was trying to out gangster the East Coast, but the East Coast gangsters came back hard. Mobb Deep was a part of that. Wu-Tang and other crews eventually will kind of balance things out. But we're celebrating those hip-hop artists that have had a profound impact on hip-hop. Both passed away too soon, but we thought we'd play a couple tracks from their catalog. So anyway, back to it. We were talking about the elections in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and elsewhere across the country, Mr. Buckner. Before you tuned in, you joined in. We already talked about New York and what's going on there. All 51 New York City Council seats are up for grabs.
Yes.
And of course, there is this mayoral race that folks are paying a lot of attention to as well. So welcome, Mr. Buckner. How you doing tonight, bro?
My great apologies to y'all, but the reality is that so much going on, running around town trying to figure out exactly how people are doing what they need to do the night before election. I mean, this, you know, for me, I won't lie to you, this is kind of a holiday. And so I am kind of, you know, doing my excitement moment, you know, before Christmas comes out. I celebrate the election like it's Christmas. So I'm excited about hearing what happens across the country. You know, is the Trump gains across the country truly legit? Is it solidified, or is it just about the individual? Here in Minneapolis, are we talking about change, or are we talking about the same? And having a couple conversations with people over the past couple, even hours and actually moments. What's going to happen tomorrow? The reality is that turnout is going to be the big thing. But what I'm noticing is that we're not going to have a major, massive turnout. So we'll see what happens. I'm really excited.
I don't know about that.
Elle Boog has
done some, her research may be better than your research today. She's done some analysis on turnout, and we just waited. We waited for about 35 minutes to vote early earlier today, and that line was pretty long. It took us 30 minutes just to get in the building, 45 to finish the process. But Elle Boog, what were you saying? Hey, Elle Boogie said that earlier today, the
NPR, I thought I'm going to pull it up, but I'm pretty sure it was NPR that was reporting that it was the turnout for early voting, but the turnout is one of the highest in our Minneapolis history. So but
again,
I don't know.
Early
I, again,
voting,
I'm looking for the source so yeah, I can quote it properly.
So thus far, according to Al Boog's research, early voting numbers seem to be trending higher than normal in a Minneapolis election. And I could see that for a variety of reasons. And Mr. Buckner, please weigh in. For one, the last couple cycles have not been very competitive. More competitive races will very likely turn out more voters. And in this case, it's more competitive where there isn't just two candidates that are fighting it out. There are multiple candidates that have shown up and are considered, you know, potential contenders. At least there is going to be a different electoral reality when the count's complete in a couple days. We don't know what that's going to mean on election day for election day turnout, but clearly thus far, early voting and the indications of what we saw and witnessed earlier today, a lot of folks are showing up. And we'll have to see what that means. Again, ranked choice voting in Minneapolis. So people are not just voting for one candidate. They're voting for their preference amongst many. So
I'll say it in my dear friend from College Football Game Day and ESPN, Lee Corso. Not so fast, my friend.
Right.
What we have right now, don't get me wrong, we are actually going to break 2021's outcome. We had about 23,000 individuals who had voted early, which, grand scheme of things, a little low, but nonetheless. What we're looking at right now is this last surge. So will we get somewhere in the neighborhood of about 27, 28? That's great. But the question is, across the board, and especially since there's so many uncontested races across the city of Minneapolis, is it ginned up across the board to make things happen? Now, let me say this very clearly. I'm hopeful that we will have over 55% come out. This show has always been about turnout. So I hope that this takes place. But what I am concerned about is the actual weight that's taking place across the community. Do they believe that their vote is actually going to count and matter? I'm concerned about certain pockets of the community as I look at the numbers across the board right now. I'm looking at the municipal count of early voting. Ward 4 and Ward 5 is still under 1,000 voters. And other areas across the city of Minneapolis is still below what they were doing prior to these elections. We have greater turnout, though, in Ward 3 and Ward 6, which is a great indicator for potentially Omar Fate and his people.
Right.
But also a little counter has taken place for Jacob Fry. So we'll see how tomorrow turns out. What I'm excited about is people are starting to say, okay, is there a way that we can actually reimagine how the city is ran? And so I hope that we can get over 180,000, and you can mark that as a hopeful floor. But if we get there, then it's going to be a very interesting night tomorrow, and I don't think we'll actually have the full results taking place announced by the end of tomorrow.
Yeah, it was.
I do believe one simple thing. You're going to see a very tense race as it relates to the control of the city council. And I am very excited to see exactly how the relationship between the mayor and the city council plays out, you know, in the next couple of weeks, because it's going to be a closer margin. I think the moderates have done an amazing job. They'll be able to get their vote out, but I don't know if it's going to be enough to be able to counteract the progressives. in the city of Minneapolis. And the one last thing I'm just going to remind people in the city of Minneapolis, you're all Democrats. I mean, that's where we're at. City of St. Paul, it's going to be tight. That's going to be an interesting race. And, you know, full disclosure, yes, I gave money to Melvin Carter. I, you know, again, Collie Hur is an amazing individual, but I hope that St. Paul does not step away from where they're going.
Right.
About how they're moving things along the economic and social balance in order to move St. Paul forward in a proper manner.
Yeah.
So we were let's just have some fun tomorrow.
That. Yeah, we were just talking about that because I said, I remember St. Paul was struggling before, like this has been an issue, you know, St. Paul, downtown St. Paul. But anyway, I got the early voting in Minneapolis on second highest pace ever headline and story from the Star Trib. So that's what the Star Trib was reporting as of 1:30 this afternoon. So we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. Absolutely. I hope that vote, that, you know, people do turn out. There's a lot of really good candidates and we'll see what happens. There's a lot at stake. You know, it's funny that you say that the Democrat, we're all Democrats piece. You know, we often, and I'm not going to get into the whole details, but we often talk about how the GOP wants to move into Minneapolis and start influencing our politics. And I've experienced it when we were talking, when I was considering different runs as well for different races. And the GOP approached me to see if they could tip me over to their side a bit, or at least side with them on some things, right? And I'm like, no, thank you. And recently, right after the show last week, Navigator and I sitting just having a quick dinner, and someone who didn't look like they belonged at the Loop was sitting at the Loop and started some DEI conversation with us, started an argument with us. And I'm not saying he's GOP. I'm not insinuating that. I'm just saying that there's just a lot of different people coming into the city with a lot of different opinions, stirring up a lot of different of our politics. And we just have to be, we have to protect our city. We have to be aware of our city. And when this gentleman was specifically looking at him and I, talking about DEI.
And what operatives. I always get up.
Operatives.
Yes. Yeah.
Operatives definitely rolling in.
Exactly.
Trying to incite.
Exactly.
Or take the temperature. Well, Go ahead, Bob.
Well, I was, you know, with that being said, this is the game called politics. And unfortunately, there's a group that's out there on the right that is more committed to the game than we are on the left. We're having a slight, I don't want to call it a civil war, but definitely a family discussion in order to how things happen. But at the end of the day, the people in Minneapolis, and the funny thing is that Jacob Fry is going to be propped up by a good number of Republicans in tomorrow's election. Those conservatives, moderates, and, you know, just people who are trying to think about it from a different perspective are going to say very clearly, what we have right now is what we have. Okay. Tomorrow's election is going to be a temperature about the intensity. It is a major conversation as it relates to the governor's race. And again, we've talked about, well, we actually haven't had a chance to talk about because there's been new developments. The Speaker of the House, the co-Speaker of the House, in the grand scheme of things, Lisa Daymuth, is actually going to run for governor.
Yeah.
It's an interesting move. You know, again, going against Kristen Robbins on the Republican side.
How long has she been in a speaker?
She was just recently elected speaker.
That'll be 24 hours.
Yeah,
that'll be 24 hours.
Well, she had been elevated to minority leader. Kind of came from. I mean, Lisa Daymuth is kind of an interesting politician, right? We saw her. You know, lock horns with the former speaker, rest in peace, to Melissa Hortman. We did see her lock horns. We've seen the level of aggression she can bring forward on the conservative side of things. She's got an interesting pedigree in that she grew up in Minneapolis, but somehow ended up.
She's somehow an outsider.
Yeah, somehow ended up in Cold Spring or out near one of the St. Cloud suburbs or rural adjacent areas, and you know ended up growing into a conservative. She, I remember one conversation I had with her where she said, well, you know, not a mother of my family members. Again, Lisa Daymuth, for other folks who don't know, is a mixed race person who is currently the speaker, even though the chamber is tied, right? So there basically are two speakers. Speaker Hortman had deferred that. She took the title of Speaker Emeritus and allowed Daymuth to wear the crown, so to speak, and proclaim herself as speaker. But when you look at politics, you know, people say politics is about timing, but a lot of times some folks wait too long, you know. And if you're Lisa Daymuth, and you look at Governor Walz and the run he just had, the unsuccessful run he just had. And I think we've talked about it here, how, you know, we know Governor Walz to be a great leader and a great, you know, using that military background to help us navigate through some very complicated experience in the pandemic. But he clearly took some hits to his profile by the GOP when he was the running mate of Kamala. And now he may be vulnerable as he's seeking a third term. And what better way to approach a known product with a unique product, right? There aren't a lot of brown people on the GOP side, but there seem to be a number of folks growing. And their recruiting methods, Kanye and others, Snoop Dogg and others, who seem to be going over to, you know, the dark side. No pun intended. She's kind of the caramel side because she kind of, okay. Anyway, you should have seen that look, elbow.
About my skin tone.
I already know.
You know.
But, oh, go ahead, yeah.
The when you were saying lock horns, we watched her and Melissa Hortman debate at the chamber dinner.
Yes.
And she has some chops.
She does.
She will, you know, and we saw that it's not our governor's greatest strength. However, people might also go, we're going to keep him. We don't want the other side running our state. So let's just cross our fingers and let our governor do his magic.
So we shall see. This is going to shape up to be an interesting race.
Will.
Yeah.
Now this is going to turn into Drake versus Kanye. I mean Drake versus Ken.
They're not like us.
Okay. They're not like us. And so here's my major problem with this whole thing with Lisa. And I think she has a compelling story if she was able to play a little bit more of a traditional Republican to be able to say, you know what, I am socially moderate, but I understand we can do this for a better price. She's not going to say that. She has to be able to bend to the will of the current administration to where Kristen Robbins, who is unhinged, let's just keep this 100, and she's going to be able to win the boisterous entity called the Republican Party of what it is right now, MAGA. So the question is going to be, because Black people and people of color and lower means are going to witness what's going to happen on the Republican side. Oh, you rejected the system because she's trying to be at least common sense. And that's going to be a major hurdle. And then on top of that, Tim Walz, actually, his biggest issue was that he was not as smooth and polished as J.D. Vance. And don't get me wrong, J.D. Vance did not say anything that was actually technically correct that night.
No.
But he made it sound smooth. He made it sound real smooth. And even as the governor was trying to point out his case, and it was technically correct, it wasn't polished. And here's the thing that I do worry about the Democrats. the Democrats just don't know how to package. That's going to be our issue in 2026. With this race that's coming up tomorrow, how many people do we have to figure out how to bring them back into the fold as it relates to, can we actually see each other's success? I.e., Ilhan Omar talking with Governor Walz and saying, we need to make sure that you get through. I.e., Ilhan Omar talking with Keith Ellison, surprise, we need to make sure that you get through. And this temper tantrum that is taking place on the extreme left, and yes, it is that, a temper tantrum, that we have to be a little bit more practical and a little bit more focused about winning elections and moving things on from there. It is about 50 plus one and not about how you feel at the moment. So y'all can come with all the smoke on this one. I'm going to say grow up over the next couple months, because here's the reality. Minnesota is one of the few communities across the country that actually has the ability to ride out all the craziness that's before us. And there you go.
There you go. All right. Well, let's take a quick break. Thank you again for tuning in to Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy here on KFAI 90.3 FM, KFAI.org on the net, Radio Without Boundaries. We'll be right back, y'all.
It's like the A, the B, to the C. It's easy.
One, two, three.
DJ, that's the J, I'm DMC.
So it is run.
It's time for week to see. So what, so rhyme, speak your piece.
Why?
Cause you can't touch jam, that's the J. Cause it's number
one, two, three, four. Get it.
Dance to the rhythm, the rhyme, the flow. Chance that we give them is done, I told you. All these routines like 1983.
Support for KFAI comes from First Avenue, presenting Boris Pink, the 20th anniversary tour, Tuesday, November 11th at the Fine Line. The Japanese noise rock trio will play their classic 2005 album, Pink, in its entirety, amongst other select songs from their catalog.
Opening the show will be our neighbors from Wisconsin, the stoner doom of Bongzilla. More information about the Boris Pink 20th anniversary tour is available at first-avenue.com.
We'll be right back.
All right, Twin Cities, welcome back. Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy. It's our Rest in Beats show. That beat right there, that track was from MF Doom, another giant of hip hop who passed away too soon. Passed away actually on Halloween a few years ago, except for his wifey, his family didn't let folks know. They just kind of grieved without revealing that he had passed away. I don't know. I guess I didn't realize that I was lining it up that way, but three giants of hip hop who had passed away before they were able to really, I mean, they had already made their mark, but left us too soon. So rest in peace to MF Doom as well. Welcome back, L Boog, B Buckner, KFAI, the listeners. Hope you all having a good evening. Can we talk Vikings before we get up out of here?
JJ McCarthy's crying. He got emotional about the success. So why you have to? You have to. Even he drew himself to tears.
He brought himself to another level. The young man, what is he like? Is he like 24? Is that 22, 24? Young dude.
I don't know.
Maybe 20.
He's a baby.
He's just a pup.
I mean,
he's just a pup.
No,
he went through it.
No.
He went through it. He came up. Hey, listen. If you go into Detroit after the season that the Vikings had thus far and you punch them in the mouth and control the game the way they did, stopping the run, putting a lot of pressure on Goff, even though, you know, game was kind of close near the end, yeah. But it took for the Vikings, maybe not another team, it took for the Vikings to control that offensive and defensive line, which they did. So clearly Brian Flores got on some folks and said, do not let this team just run all over us. And they didn't. I can't remember the stat line for rushing yards for the Vikes or against for Detroit, 65. It was under 100 yards, right? Under 100 yards. 65 yards, I think, is what it was. So shout out to the Vikings for coming back in good fashion and showing the rest of the fan base that you're not giving up. So we won't give up on you because you showed that you're not giving up. So that's good news.
They did not give up. I'll give them that. They actually did something that they should have been doing early in the year. And let's be very clear, the schedule that we've dealt with over the past eight games, it's the eighth strongest schedule in the NFL, period. And we're still 4-4, sniffing at the wild card position. So that means we've weathered the storm. We still have to deal with Lamar and Baltimore in a couple of weeks. But we showed something to the NFL that we're going to be okay. The question, and yes, JJ had a good game. But I will like to be able to make, I don't know, an advertisement, a promotion, that we have a player called Justin Jefferson. I don't know, throw him the ball. Just throw him the ball. Just throw him the ball.
I'm with you. I thought they did a good job of being creative and moving their really valuable pieces around the board to get some opportunities. They did some different things. I saw Justin running in the backfield in motion multiple times. They did some creative things. I want to acknowledge the defense, though, right? I really do.
Defense showed up.
Yeah, I would say the defense was the difference maker. I had this debate with my cousin yesterday. He want to give JJ a lot of love, and JJ does deserve, as a young guy, you know, we put him back in the oven, right? He wasn't quite ready when he came out at the beginning of the season. He needed, you know, how you got that pizza and the filling is, you know, on the inside, the crust is not really
still kind of doughy.
Yeah, still kind of doughy. Yeah. So we had to put him back in. And, you know, he went through adversity. You know, you go through, you're going to be the guy, you get injured, you watch a guy who's supposed to have some potential not do it well, and now you get another opportunity with Carson Wentz season ending injury, and they're looking down the bench and they're like, you were supposed to be the dude. Ain't nobody really behind you except for this one kid who might be better. We'll see. But
might be better.
But JJ showed up. He showed that he has something special in both games. I will point out one where he played really well. The first mm-hmm. was in Chicago.
No,
great comeback.
I'm sorry,
but
he played one good quarter.
Yeah,
let's start there.
All right. But he played one good quarter at a time to win the game, and he played mm-hmm. in the area that he had grown up in. He grew up in Illinois, suburban Chicago.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, stepping up, it was a great scheme. They kept him moving. He didn't have to overthink things. Right, he grew up a little bit between his injury and getting back on the field, but interestingly enough, that game was played in Detroit, Michigan. University of Michigan mm-hmm. is where he went to college.
And he played there. Yeah.
Exactly. So both of these games, interestingly enough, have some deep rooted connectivity for the young man. I wish him luck. I hope he does well. As a Vikings fan, I'm happy that someone back there in that pocket is able to escape or make good decisions, because there is a wealth of talent. I know Aaron Jones got on the field, but ended up injuring his shoulder. I feel bad after all the time he took off recovering from another injury. So hopefully he can make it back before the end of the season. And the Vikings are still a very talented team. So for the moment, I will take back my hard critique that I had a couple weeks ago, where I said, you promised us a good defense and an offensive line that were to protect the quarterback. Where are they? They showed up yesterday at a good time against a real good team. So
I'm going to say four words. I'm going to call JJ supersonic in the words of the old school hip hop, supersonic JJ Fad.
JJ Fad.
I don't know which one I'm going to get. Yeah, supersonic. Yeah, okay. I don't know which one I'm going to get. Two, mysterious still. They still don't have an identity. And that, again, great show yesterday against a very dynamic offense, but I'm still not sold on where they're at. Three, they showed some grit yesterday because I think they literally had to. They're 4-4 right now, and Chicago's going to drop off, but they have they're 2-0 against the division. So showed a little bit of grit yesterday, but I'm going to use the fourth word. And I think this is going to be probably the most damning word across the board. Punks. They have to be, they can't be punks anymore. Minnesota has to show that it has a little moxie, a little nastiness to it. That's not this team right now. And so I don't even know who they play next week. I mean, to be perfectly honest, I mean, that's how kind of checked out I am with this squad. But if they don't have a little bit of grit internally on that line, and it helped having O'Neal and Darrishaw, it showed
it
greatly that they had
they're back at full power. That was real important.
They're back at 80% because they're still missing the center, if I'm not mistaken. So if they can get the center back,
mm-hmm.
I still think it's one of the top four teams in the NFC, but don't be some punks right now. This, protect the gains. What does Wu-Tang say? Protect your neck.
You got to protect your neck.
You just went into the best, I still think, best team in the NFC. You basically shot them in the mouth, and now you got to protect your neck and go from there.
True. You know what we got to do? We got to get up out of here, y'all.
We got to bounce it.
We got to bounce. Make sure you cast your vote tomorrow, if you haven't thus far, do your research. Go to the Minnesota Secretary of State's website. We appreciate y'all. We'll be back next week. We out of here.
Peace.
Health Notes is up next, y'all.
viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
Looking out on the morning rain,